Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And don't forget, if you want to win a $25 gift card to Bedrock City Comic Company and a t-shirt, just tweet at Degenerates 975 with the superhero or supervillain of the week. And what was their superpower?
And we are getting some good entries. A lot of Vontaze Burfict. We're getting some Odell Beckham Jr. And we have a Jalen Strong sighting.
All right. Tag Bedrock City Comics on those guys. And was it Odell Beckham Jr. for mating with a kicking net?
Let's see. One of them said Odell Beckham Jr. for having the emotional control of Professor X not to attack another field goal net.
Not bad. AJ says, thinking Aggies cover. I'm not in the habit of betting against Alabama. And I know everybody wants to have picks on Tuesday, so I've started looking at some games, just even though, you know, so don't take these to the bank. There are a couple that I'm already kind of high on. BYU +7 at Boise. I'm hoping that gets outside of 7. And I'll unload on BYU if that's the case. Yeah. Every game BYU plays is close, except for when they went in-house Michigan State. This team stays in games, and I think they're going to get Boise all they want, even on that ugly blue field. But the A&M game, man, I can't. I know A&M fan wants to say, oh, that's too many points. And don't get me wrong, A&M is a very good football team. That is the second best team in the SEC West right now. Maybe in the entire SEC. But the difference between 1 and 2 is pretty significant. For the Aggies to have a chance, they're going to have to play. Well, Trevor Knight is going to have a game like he did against Alabama in the bowl game. He's going to have to be flawless passing the ball. He's going to have to run all over the place because that's the kind of quarterback that is capable of beating Alabama. And defensively, the Aggies are going to have to play a near-perfect game. And if all that happens, yeah, they got a shot. But if you've watched Alabama, they have no flaws. This team really has no flaws. The only way you can get to them is the way Ole Miss did. And I think the Aggies are capable of that. But it's going to take the game of Trevor Knight's life, by far. And if that happens, they got a shot. And if not, if we just get kind of average Trevor Knight, they're not covering 17.
Yeah.
So that's why I wouldn't touch it. But there's one other game that I'm also going to keep an eye on to see if the number goes up. Have you been paying much attention to Old Dominion?
They are pretty decent.
That's a pretty good football team. Getting 13.5 at Western Kentucky, who's suddenly not playing very well anymore.
Yep.
That's one I'm looking at pretty heavily, too. So, but that's the two that jumped out at me so far. Most of the other ones, I mean, I don't mind Arkansas +9.5 at Auburn either. It seems like a pretty big spread. And I think I don't think Auburn's 9.5 points better than Arkansas.
Yeah.
So that's another one I kind of like. But that Aggie number just keeps going up because, you know, people, I don't know what number I would bet A&M at. And that's, I hate to say that because it's always about the number, but I can see so many scenarios where I see about one or two, I see one scenario where the Aggies can win the game. I see a couple scenarios where they can keep it close. And then I see, out of 10, I see 7 scenarios where Alabama runs away and hides.
Yeah.
And I know it's not what A&M fan wants to hear, but the truth is, I just think this Alabama team is that much better than not just A&M, but everybody else.
Everybody.
And it's a tall order. It's not impossible. But just because that's how my mind sees it, I see three ways they can cover out of 10. You can get that number into the 20s. I'm probably not touching it because I've just seen too much of this Alabama team.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong. I don't want to sit here and talk about how great Alabama is. I think Saban is a turd and a horrible human being, but one hell of a football coach. But that team, they're awesome. Hey, can we talk about these, why it's okay to cheat at some things in baseball and why it's not in others?
What do you mean cheat?
Well, I guess I made a big deal out of sign stealing, right? Between the Dodgers and Cubs. And, like, Dodgers are stealing signs. Cubs, oh, that's okay. We're stealing signs, too. Why is that okay? Why are spitballs okay? But if I want to juice and hit home runs and make the game more interesting, that's not okay. I'm just curious.
I don't know.
There's this honorable cheating in versus... I don't quite get it. And I never understand baseball or its unwritten rules, but that's kind of silly.
I'm with you on that. I don't like that. But I also don't care about that anymore.
I don't either. It's this huge story about stealing. Oh, well, everybody does it. And well, everybody was juicing. What the hell? You don't like that?
I mean, I don't know. The stealing signs thing? Well, be more careful with flashing your signs.
Exactly.
Come up with a way to give signs when there's a guy on second base. It's pretty simple. I don't think there should be a guy in the bullpen, you know, with binoculars. That's probably going a little far. But if a guy's on second base, that's on you.
They always taught us if you're on second base, see what the signs are and flash them to your batter.
They never told me that. I was never taught that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it wouldn't shock me. And I think maybe because I never pitched, I never cared.
Yeah.
But
well, and let's face it, when I was playing, there's two pitches: it's fastball and curveball, or fastball and changeup. But, yeah, if you got on second base.
Well, you played in the 40s. They were throwing sliders when I was a kid.
But no, you would, when you were on second base, you'd hold your arm out like you were extending it, and then you would hold the number of fingers that the catcher held up so he'd know what the ball was. Technically, that's stealing signs. But there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, I have some amazing stats on Tom Brady. We know he's good, right?
Right.
Do we know how good he is at home? Here's some stats for you from USA Today. Of his last 113 games at home, he's lost 15.
Oh, out of how many?
113.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
He seems to be good at sport.
That's 98-15. That record is better than any other quarterback since 1960. He's lost just one game at home to an AFC opponent since 2007.
Wow.
And that was Buffalo in 2014, and that's when the Patriots already clinched home field advantage. 56% of his career wins have come at home. He's only failed to throw a touchdown pass at home in just 8 games since his rookie year. And only 8 times in his career has he ended a home game throwing more interceptions than touchdowns.
Man.
So we always talk about touchdown to interception ratio. How about this?
Yeah.
213 touchdowns, 57 interceptions. And in 51 different home games, he's had a passer rating of more than 100. I just kind of thought those were fun stats.
Yeah.
We know he's good.
He's pretty good.
And I think he's going to go down as the best of all time. But he's still got some career left. Although I still wonder, man, he's getting to that age. And I may be of the opinion still that this 4-game suspension is might have done him some good. Sign stealing is more gamesmanship than cheating. See, now you're just semanting me to death. It's cheating. If you're stealing signs, you're cheating. If you're putting spit on a ball, you're cheating.
I feel the same way, but I don't know. I just wish they just play baseball. And if a guy spits on a ball, okay, try and hit it anyway.
One requires intellect and ability. One is just an injection. So, okay, first off, it's not just an injection. That's the thing that always drives me nuts, is those guys still had to go work their ass off. I mean, those injections allowed them to work out more than you work out. That's what they allowed them to do. So that's dumb. And intellect and ability to steal signs, okay. Yeah, you still haven't convinced me, sir.
I guess I also think, I mean, everybody works out in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. With the steroids thing, I liked the game better when there were steroids. So I didn't bitch when guys were on steroids, and I wasn't one of these guys saying, you know, when it started to come out and guys started to get busted for what we already pretty much knew, I wasn't on some sort of a witch hunt because I prefer the game juiced up. And most people do, by the way.
Yeah, I think if we
go look at ratings, most people do.
Well, I think if we actually had a poll, most people would be cool with it.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if they would admit to that's what they like, but the ratings say that that's what people liked. Baseball was a more exciting game when people were hitting home runs and when pitchers were throwing 104 miles an hour. It's just better.
Rob says steroids were altering the sacred numbers, sign stealing not so much. Yeah, what about the sacred numbers? What about was it Phil Niekro got in the Hall of Fame with his spitball?
Yeah.
How many wins did he get? I may be wrong if it was Phil Niekro or. But I mean, you're still altering your sacred numbers.
Yeah, sign stealing would alter numbers.
Sure.
Too.
Sure would. 713-780-ESPN. I just think it's hypocritical, that's all. But that's all right. Seamheads do not agree with me, but that's fine. Yeah. I don't want them to agree with me. It'd be boring. I hate boring. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we won't be boring. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. It's Dick's Week here. Always a good thing. Texter says, I'm from Australia and your Australian accent was horrible. Canadians think my Canadian accent's horrible, so...
Well, I can tell that guy I think his American text accent sucks.
I agree. 713-780-ESPN. Let's talk a little bit about this whole Big 12 decision and where UH goes from here. And I know you have some thoughts on this. And I've talked to a few people over there today. And then Hunter Yurecek was on earlier with Nate and Crate and talked about it. Do we want to do that audio first and then get into this?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that.
We've got to be reasonable in that commitment. But, yes, I mean, we are willing, and I'm working on the parameters of making a new extended commitment to Coach Herman to retain him as our head football coach. And I think you talk to Coach Herman, and he expresses a great affinity and love for the University of Houston, obviously for our football program and the young men that are a part of that football program and that have committed to be a part of that in the future. I think him and his family both love having their residence in the city of Houston and what the city offers. And so I think it's going to take a phenomenal, and I mean that phenomenal opportunity for Coach Herman for him to leave the University of Houston. One, because it's a phenomenal opportunity, and two, because we're committed to making it very hard for him to leave here at this point in time. So, last year it was just the start of that, and we see obviously great value in what Coach Herman has brought not only to our football program but to this university and this city, and we're going to do everything we can to retain him. Somebody's going to have to come again and really take him and offer him something really, really phenomenal, and because we're going to make it really hard for him to say no to the University of Houston.
That was Hunter Yurecek earlier today on Nate and Crate. They're on from 1 to 3 on SB Nation 1560, and good guys. I like them. But I would just say, yeah, he might agree to an extension, but in college football, we know that doesn't mean anything. And I'm sure they're going to offer him a lot more money. And in the end, he's in a good spot where he can wait and take exactly the job he wants. But if the job he wants opens up this year, it wouldn't have mattered if they'd have gotten in the Big 12, even if he'd gotten that $5 million bonus. To me, if there's a job that he really, really wants that becomes open, then there's nothing they can do. And I don't know what that job is. I have my suspicions. I think there's a couple of them, and I think there's a chance one of them's open. But
Texas.
I'm not sure. But I do think that the reality is that's great. They should try to take care of him, and he deserves whatever they get. But the bigger issue is how long do you keep spending money if you're UH? Because I think, well, I still think there's possibilities in other conferences down the road. If you can wait it out 8 years and continue to build what you're building, when the Big 12 does fall apart, and I think one of the reasons why they're not expanding is because Texas is out of here when this is over.
I think so, too.
And I think Oklahoma's out of here, and they're going to go their separate ways.
Which means that you don't want to be in that conference anyway.
Right. And what else? But what's going to happen is other conferences are going to need other teams to fill it out. You tell me who in the Big 12 is going to be more appealing than the Houston market right now if they keep doing what they're doing. If they're a national power year in, year out, and keep these, you know, keep spending money on facilities and building up, I would say once you take Texas and Oklahoma, and I'm assuming Oklahoma State's married at the hip, you take those three out, who's more appealing? Kansas, maybe, because of basketball? I'll give you that, but
I don't know.
But that's, I mean, we're talking football.
Yeah.
And now Kansas has time to turn it around, too, and become a good football program. I just got to hire another fat guy.
Yeah.
Well, no, it didn't work with Charlie Weiss. Never mind.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed.
But I mean, the reality is, and Pac-12 specifically is what I'm talking about. Because I think if Texas were going to the Pac-12, they'd need another Texas team. Well, they're not taking TCU or Baylor.
No.
Texas Tech's academics aren't up to snuff. Who does that leave?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I think this is a good time to.
I still think Texas will probably the most likely scenario is that Texas ends up as an independent.
I think I think they wind up in the Pac-12. I think the Pac-12. If I were guessing, I would say the Pac-12 would try to get into Texas before that, and then when they go to 16, like everybody else does, it's Texas and somebody else. And I think that's a good fit, because if you look at the culture of some of the schools out there, Austin is very similar to California and Oregon and Seattle, yeah, and places like that. And with academics and everything, I think it's a really good fit. I think the Big Ten would be a good fit, too, for different reasons. But if they decided to go independent, I mean, I think that would be fine. But I also think even Notre Dame, if you lose a couple games early, you start becoming really irrelevant. And I think at least when you're in a conference, you're affecting a conference race. I know Texas doesn't necessarily need that, but they're not going to have that Longhorn network either at that point. And would somebody bid on them on their own? I think the program's going to have to get back to where it was under Mac for that to happen.
I don't know. I think that brand is strong enough to survive on its own.
Well, but if we get 8 years from now, we're talking about 12 years of futility. That brand's going to suffer. Yeah. I don't care who you are. I mean, Notre Dame's brand has suffered in the past in things like that. I think UT's will as well. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think either Charlie Strong is finally going to get it right,
or and the Longhorn Network will still be a thing.
Yeah, for
8 years from now,
for three more years.
That was a 20-year contract.
It was an 11-year deal, wasn't it?
No, that was an 11-year contract.
I think there's a. I'll have to double check that, but I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure it wasn't that far. So, but yeah, I think what you're doing is positioning yourself for when that breaks up, or when these other conferences start deciding, all right, we need to get to 16 and get that done.
Yeah, it's a 20-year contract.
Okay. It started in?
Started in 2011. So it goes through 2031.
Wow.
Yeah, they got some time on that thing.
There's got to be a way ESPN can
Texas,
get out of that.
If though, Texas right? leaves the Big 12, the school must keep the terms of the present agreement, provide ESPN an exclusive 60-day window to negotiate for the other rights, and allow ESPN a 48-hour window to match any offer. See, this is all this writing makes it seem like the Longhorn Network, ESPN's the one who would want to keep it.
If they can get out of that right now, they would. But
It prevents Texas from participating in a potential Big 12 network, scuttling that carrot if it were ever to arise, which it has.
Yeah. Well, I would say, I also happen to think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but this next round of negotiations, nobody's going to make as much money as they're making now.
No.
And that's why I kind of...
The numbers are coming back down to earth.
And that's why I kind of think, while it would have been a dickweed move, adding four teams, which was the max they could have done, might not have been a terrible idea. Get that money now while you can, because you're not going to get it on that next contract. I don't see any way.
But, I mean, do you think the money would have been way greater had they added four teams?
Well,
I don't.
There was supposed to be another $25 million a year. I'm not good at math, but I think if you added that up and spread it out over the teams. Plus, those guys are getting junior memberships for 3 years, so they're not getting nearly the cut of the pie you are. So, yeah, every school would come out with more money over the life of the contract. That would have been the reason to do it. But, the reality is, I think when you get to that next deal, I think you're going to have a hard sell almost for everybody, because the ratings are going to decline. They're going to continue to decline. That's just a fact of life. And I also think these networks have realized they've gotten in these ridiculous, and ESPN doesn't have the money it had before.
No.
Disney's kind of said, hey, dudes. And they made mistakes with some of these networks. Some of them worked out great. But I think in the end, if I'm Houston, I'm just going to keep courting the Pac-12 and, try to get in there, because I think that's a good fit for everybody at some point. And if not, you wait till everything blows up. And if you've kept on this trajectory, now the question is, does it make financial sense to keep doing this? Does it make financial sense to pay Tom Herman $5 million a year to be your head coach when you're not at a Power 5 school? Does it make sense to put...
That's why I'm surprised to hear that they're willing to throw all this money at him, because I'm starting to think maybe they should slow down on their spending, because how are they going to make that back?
Well, even if they'd gotten in the Big 12, they weren't going to make it back. The Kansas City Star had a great article about that. It's like, even if they're pulling in $25 million a year in the Big 12, they're not going to make what they've spent when you start talking about new stadium, the new practice facilities, all the stuff they're building. They're not going to make that money back, because there's operating expenses year in, year out on top of that. So that was part of the gamble, and they kind of went all in on it. Now the question is, do you keep doing it? If you've got the donors who are willing to put up the money, if Tillman Fertitta wants to keep dipping into the till, I'm all for it, but...
He's going to get tired of that, too.
Well, and that's the thing. At what point do you say, do we gamble on 8 years from now getting everything? Do we go all in on 8 years from now when the Big 12 implodes that we're going to get in a better place? And I don't think you can afford to do that.
I don't think so either.
I think you push now for one of the other conferences. And if somebody decides, hey, you know what, it might not be a bad idea to get in that market, then, boom, you jump in. But I think that's a lot to ask to say, we're going to try to do this for 8 more years. And then
hope.
And when everything explodes, just say, hey, aren't we more attractive than Texas Tech and TCU and Baylor? And
And here's the scary thing, though. The scary part to doing that is, I mean, Texas Tech's been a good football program before. What if they get their bleep together?
But it's still a Lubbock market. I mean,
But if you're in Texas, it doesn't matter if you're in Lubbock. I mean, who cares? If you're in the state of Texas, is all that matters.
But if you're talking about the Pac-12 or the ACC, you don't want Lubbock. You want DFW or Houston or Austin.
Yeah.
You don't want Lubbock. Come on, man.
I don't think it matters.
I think it does. You start talking about TV eyes, a few more in Houston and Dallas than there are in Lubbock.
Yeah.
And people in Dallas and Houston aren't going to suddenly buy your network because of a team in Lubbock, Texas.
But do you think that the Pac-12 network wouldn't be on TVs in Houston and Dallas if Texas is in the Pac-12? Of course it will be. And until, DirecTV starts letting you pick and choose which channels you buy, people are going to pay for that anyway.
By then, we may be doing that. I mean, that's the thing. We don't know what the TV landscape's going to look like. Yeah. And it may be that at that point, it makes more sense to just keep the Big 12 together in what semblance that you have. Honestly, if I were in a conference other than the SEC or the Big 10 right now, I'd be looking for a better deal. And I think the ACC.
I think the Pac-12 is probably pretty comfortable.
Yeah, if you look at their numbers, it ain't much better than the Big 12. They've got some holes there. Their TV network thing didn't pan out. There was a really compelling case made for why Colorado could leave the Pac-12 and be just as good off or well off as they were if they went to the Big 12. So that conference has got some issues. The ACC, we'll see how their network plays out. But, you know, again, I think if Florida State got an offer from the SEC, you don't think they'd jump immediately? Clemson?
That's the funny thing is, how often do you find yourself watching the SEC network or the Big Ten network or any of those networks? They have like one raggedy-ass game per week. I don't understand what the big deal is about those stupid networks. Who's watching those?
I watch, of the only ones, I'll watch the SEC network when there's a game on that's not on the main ones that I want to watch.
Like, every once in a while, I'll be, okay, what channel, I map out what I'm watching that day, and I'll figure out what channel they're. Every once in a while, I find myself on the Big Ten network or the SEC network. But it's never a national game. It's always a game that they're looking to hide somewhere. So I don't understand how there's so much money going into these networks because
the
who's watching that crap?
The network screwed up by spending as much money as they did, and the ESPN subscriptions going down. You know, they were piggybacking the SEC network onto their subscriptions, so they were making money off of it. Well, now those subscriptions are starting to disappear. People are absorbing their content in different ways. I would watch the SEC network when, let's say, Tennessee and Florida are on the main game, and then the ESPN game is Arkansas and Mississippi, and then A&M's playing somebody that I want to watch on the SEC network.
Yeah.
So I've watched a lot of it, you know, a lot of A&M games on there and teams like that where I wanted to watch that particular game. So that network I watch occasionally, but we're talking four games a year maybe, if that. 210 says
millions and millions of dollars.
210 says content will outweigh markets in future TV landscape. I completely disagree with that because your content still has to come from a place where people are watching. I don't think you can, you know, you can't just say, well, I'm in Manhattan, Kansas, everybody's going to watch. You still have to develop a fan base of people watching that content.
Yeah, Tracy says, tons of SEC fans watch it all the time. I watch specific LSU stuff. I think that's the minority. That's booger-eater stuff. And that's why I thought the Longhorn Network all along was stupid, because who's watching anything other than a football game on that channel? Who's like, oh, I need to see what's going on with Longhorn baseball recruiting, or can't wait to watch that Longhorn tennis meet this weekend? Who's doing that?
The only things I've ever watched on that network were the one or two UT games that were on.
Yeah, like live Iowa football State games.
And somebody else, that's it.
I've watched some basketball games on there, specifically when it's been difficult to get them on other stations. I just don't understand the concept of these networks. They don't make sense to me. It's all stuff that should be online. And
I think it will eventually be, but that's, you know. I think
that's having common sense like that to say that kind of crap should be online is why these networks are losing a bunch of money, because people have figured that out.
And it's also why cable systems aren't willing to take on your networks anymore, because
You're charging too much because you paid too much.
Yeah.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Dick's Sporting Goods, opening 10 new stores in 6 different locations around Houston on October 21st. Willowbrook, Deerbrook, the Woodlands, First Colony, and then Katy and Baybrook are huge buildings that are actually going to house 3 stores, a Dick's, a Field & Stream, and a Golf Galaxy, all under one roof. They're going to have gear for every sport you can think of, whether it's snow skiing, mountain biking, fishing, hiking, water sports, your basic workout outdoor clothing. They're going to have team apparel. They're going to have footwear for everybody. They're going to have it all at these stores, and they're going to be giving away a ton of prizes as well, over 10,000 prizes that weekend. They're going to have over 40 athletes and celebrities appearing in their stores that weekend, including at Willowbrook. I'll be there on Saturday from 1 to 3 with Mario Elie, and I believe from 11 to 2, Roger Clemens is going to be there. So some high-profile guys up at the Willowbrook store. Listen, this is going to be a big event. These are the first Dick's Sporting Goods stores of their kind in the whole country, and they picked Houston to open them up in. They've got a ton of great in-store services. Whatever you need done, they can take care of it at Dick's. To find out more about the celebrations Dick's has planned for their grand opening weekend, visit dicks.com/Houston. That's starting October 21st and running through the whole weekend. dicks.com/Houston for details.
listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Deacon says make sure Roger doesn't misremember what time he's supposed to be there for the Dick's Sporting Goods store opening. I bet he'll be there.
I'm sure he will.
And our buddy from City said, just heard the shout-out. Thanks for the info, Fred. Accent, 6 out of 10. I'll take that. If I can go 6 out of 10 every week, I'm making a profit. 713-780-ESPN. I want to say one more thing about this conference deal, because I did say this before the Big 12 thing came up and became a possibility, but I still think from a competitive standpoint, I'd rather see UH dominate this conference for a few years, raise the level of the conference, and yeah, I think there's enough programs in there where you could get the conference to a really good level if they're all willing to spend some money too, which some of them are, some of them aren't. And if I'm Memphis and FedEx wanted to spend all that money to get in there, dump it all into that program and build it up. And if you can get 3 or 4 really good schools like they had last year, but schools that are there every year, then I think that's a good conference to be in. I think they can... Yeah, you know, they obviously can get to a big bowl game from there. And hell, if they hadn't choked against Navy, they're still in the playoff conversation.
The problem is the money that you can make in that conference. We're talking about, listen, when the money goes down for these other conferences, it's going to go down for the mid-majors too. They're not going to hit the big time all of a sudden. It's not going to work that way.
No, but so. I think they're at such a baseline that they'll be an affordable option for somebody who's like, you know what, we're not paying $2 billion for this conference.
Yeah, but who the hell's going to, I mean, who's going to say, well, we can't get the SEC, so let's just go with the American Athletic Conference.
Well, no one's going to say that. They're going to want football. I mean, what do you do? What are you going to run? What are you going to run if you're Fox Sports 1? And what are you going to run if you're NBC Sports Network? That's part of the problem, is that they've all created these damn things. Somebody's got to have them.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can create a viable product, you'll make more money. I don't think you're going to make the stupid money. You're never going to make the stupid money, but I'm not sure that anybody's going to make the stupid money anymore, because I mean, ESPN just can't keep putting that kind of money into things.
No, I can't imagine that's the case.
Regardless, that's my 2 cents worth.
Now, when they say they're going to pay him, whatever they're going to pay him is going to make it very difficult for someone else to come along and steal him. Do you believe that to be true?
Yes.
Do you think it's going to be difficult, though, if the time comes for Texas to
I think,
whoever else? But
I think they'll come close to matching just about anything unless somebody gets ridiculous.
Right.
And in fact, I think they will match anything that's not the highest.
But for Herman, isn't it going to be about more? Like, isn't taking a job at Texas or USC or someplace? I mean, I don't know what schools he likes, but I'm just saying, at a job like that, isn't that the goal more? Like, it doesn't that kind of, I mean, the money comes with it, but is the money the most important thing? So if UH matches the money with one of these dream schools, is he not going to want to go to those schools?
It's not going to matter, but you're going to have to outbid them, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
If you want them, you're going to have to pay more than we're willing to pay. And
because I got
to
be honest, if I'm a, let's say I'm making, I mean, what's he making now? What's the
base is like 2.3, but it comes out to, I think, 3.5.
Okay,
is the actual number.
Let's say he's making 3.5 here, and let's say that UH is they're going to go crazy, and they're willing to pay $5 million a year for him to stay. And Texas or Ohio State or USC comes along and offers $4 million a year. I feel like most college coaches are going to say that million's nice and all, but these are dream jobs. That's what I'm going to go do. This is every, you know, and this is no offense to UH fan, but no kid grows up saying one day I hope I can be the head coach at the University of Houston. They like guys who come up in college or in coaching, they all have these aspirations, whether they want to be a national championship college coach or they want to be a Super Bowl coach, whatever the case, they all have dream jobs. And I think at some point that dream is going to outweigh the $500,000 or whatever it's going to be. If they don't even match it, which I think most of those schools are going to match whatever he's making.
Well, and I think that'll be the case. But Yeah, and again, I would just say it's whenever you're speculating on stuff like this, it's really hard to know exactly what job a guy wants, exactly, because sometimes somebody might surprise you. There might be a place that you didn't even think of that, man, I really want to go there and fix that. And that catches you out of the blue, in addition to these big high-profile jobs that are out there. And the reality is, and if dude likes being here and there's one or two jobs that he wants, he can wait. If you're getting $5 million a year to sit around and keep winning and keep, you know, get a little more body of work, win with some of your guys, then I could see him doing that for a couple of years. But I don't think he's just going to take any job. And I think that's what they're saying. It's like, if you want him, you're going to have to blow him away, and it's going to have to be something that, you know, we're at least going to be competitive on. And yeah, I think they will. Well, in the end, I think it's not going to matter. We have an SEC Network call from Jeremy. Well, why don't we take it? What's up, Jeremy?
Sports, Scott.
Hey, now.
Hey, so if you haven't been watching volleyball on the SEC Network, you are missing must-see TV.
All right.
Well, for me, it's a bunch of six-foot women running around in short shorts.
I have the internet now.
Yeah, I've got Pornhub, and I can search for clown porn.
There's way better stuff. I mean, no offense, but I've got late-night HBO. SEC volleyball is not going to do it for me.
Nah. And frankly, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
If you're watching volleyball for, oh, they're nice short shorts. And you know what? I'd rather watch women who are paid to do that. Just me. But hey, whatever you're into, we all have different things.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN. And fair question from Robert. Doesn't Herman risk having a down year next year and not being as attractive as he is now? He risks having a down year this year.
Yeah. I mean, if the last 2 weeks are any indication.
Yeah, I'm telling
stock's
you.
Stock's not going up.
Suddenly,
right now,
there's some games that I were no doubters to me. But that game at Memphis, that's no lock if they play like they did this week. Yeah. Memphis will crush them. So, and yeah, I think it's one of those things that it's natural for people to speculate after what happened with the Big 12. But in the end, I don't think the Big 12 was going to make a difference. Lamont says, I'm not being realistic. It's about cream. We've seen this before. Herman is gone if someone comes for him. I don't see how I'm not being realistic when I specifically state that the right job, he's gone. But why not? You know, if he's waiting for one or two jobs, then why aren't you staying?
Right.
And if that makes me unrealistic, okay, but I think you're being a little unrealistic, to be honest. Just, oh, well, he's just going to go somewhere. That's not going to happen. It's not going to be somewhere. It's going to be a destination job. And what he wants, well, I think we have to wait and see what plays out in Austin, because I think that's a legitimate possibility.
And I would imagine that's a job that he'd be interested in.
Yeah.
Because most people would.
And I don't think the money is going to matter. At that point, I think Texas can match anything UH would. And I'll give you the other big advantage to staying in state. We talk about it with athletes all the time. $5 million in Texas goes a hell of a lot farther than $5 million in Southern California. So.
All right, guys, going to say one more time about Allied Outdoor Solutions. If you want to beautify your backyard and, you know, you're getting to it, the weather's actually getting bearable where you might want to go sit in the backyard for a little bit, the guys to call, Allied Outdoor Solutions, 713-465-0400. They can renovate your old pool deck or your grayed-out patio or your ugly driveway with a carved stone overlay. Carved stone gives the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your place, so it looks great. It's twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty. They can help you with residential and commercial projects. They can also help you with things other than carved stone if you want. They do the outdoor kitchens, patio covers, so much stuff. The water features, fire features that you could do to your backyard, and you could do it all with Allied Outdoor Solutions. Save yourself that hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway. Check out what they can do for your backyard, or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
This
is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, guys. Dick's Sporting Goods coming to Houston. We're excited about the grand opening of Dick's this weekend. I'll be hanging out at the new Dick's Sporting Goods located at Willowbrook Mall Saturday from 1 until 3. We're going to be giving away a ton of stuff, so come check it out. Willowbrook from 1 to 3.
And, can I get a little plug for the website? We got some really cool stuff on there today. And if you haven't checked it out yet, HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. We got a beer review of Texas Beer Refinery's Catalyst. We have the daily update, which is pretty much the same stuff you hear on the show, only written form, and you get it in the morning. And then we have a margarita review on there today as well. And tomorrow we'll have another funny story from Barry Laminack. So I post something every morning just to kind of get the day started. And AJ's fantasy picks are on there on Thursdays. I do the gambling guide on Fridays and has all my picks. So check it out. It's a cool site. I'm very happy with where it is right now. And the traffic has been amazing on it. So we're going to keep trying new stuff. And a couple of things. Black Spotted Zebra asked, would Oregon be a destination spot to add to the list of suitors for Herman? See, that's one of those jobs. Somebody asked about Auburn. Both of those are not jobs that I would think necessarily the guy would take. But what if he wants his family to live in Oregon? I mean, that's you never know with any of these guys that can.
I think Oregon's more of a destination job than Auburn.
Yeah, but you love Oregon, and everybody's different. And I think
Phil
Knight. Yeah, but there's a bunch of money at Auburn too. Now, yeah.
Oregon has the best facilities in the country probably at this point. I mean, there's always going to be money pumped into that program. And, well, I mean, yeah.
But that's,
I think,
that's
I feel,
every
I know,
other program we're
do
talking
I,
about, too.
Would I prefer to live in Oregon than Alabama? Yes. But do I feel like most people would? Yeah.
Right. I think it depends on the person. There's a lot of people from the South that want no part of Oregon. And now he's
never been there.
Well,
I'm from the South. I've been to Oregon. I've been to Alabama. There's no choice.
Trust me, I would never live in Alabama. But there's a lot of people who would. There's a lot of people who do. And again, it depends. If you maybe your challenge is you want to go up against Nick Saban every year.
Maybe so.
And everything, people are motivated by different things. And yeah, and I know I get all this stuff whenever it's like, oh, well, if you got more money somewhere, you'd leave in a heartbeat. No, I wouldn't. I don't need to make more money somewhere else. If I leave for somewhere, it's going to be someplace I want to live. Doing a job that I like, where I have the same freedoms that I have here. That's what's more important, because the job's fun because I don't have people crawling up my ass telling me what to say and what not to say all the time. So there's a lot that goes into making a decision like that. And I know some people are totally motivated by money. That's their thing. But not me. A couple of quick questions, and we'll get to the gym of the day. It's the name of the website. It's HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. Very easy to find. I tweet it out every day, and I put it on my Facebook page. And there is a Houston Sports and Stuff Facebook page where everything goes on there, too. Promo code for my bookie is Fred, and 832 wants to know, hey, AJ, did you get your Pumpkinator today?
I haven't got any yet, no.
I picked up some today. There's a whole bunch at the downtown Specs.
Oh, I think it's all gone.
No, it's not.
They tweeted that it was all gone.
Did they? They still had three cases when I was there.
Dude, people go and stock up on this stuff. I like the beer, but they make so much of it that it's around. So I didn't feel the need to go run around chasing it. Like 2 or 3 years ago, I used to do that, but I don't feel like you have to anymore.
I went at 10:30 this morning. There were still three cases sitting out there. And I just got two because same thing, as many bars I go to downtown, everybody's got it, so I can get it when I want it.
Yeah.
And that little pizza place across from me, they always have it, so it's like, I can get it.
Yeah, they tweeted 6 hours ago, Specs Smith Street sold out of St. Arnold Pumpkinator.
Wow. I find that surprising.
Yep.
All right, let's do the Sad Eye Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Sad Eye Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Well, this sounds like it should be a Florida story, but they actually released that there yesterday, so I'm surprised that
the Pumpkinator.
Yeah, I'm surprised they still had three cases left.
I mean, they make a lot of this stuff now.
All right, we go to Richmond, where emergency medical crews were called to the scene of an alligator bite in Fort Bend County. It happened on Sagamore Bay near Burdett Road, south of Greatwood. So we now have an alligator attack right in our own backyard here, right? According to the game warden, the victim, an 88-year-old man.
Oh, boy.
Who in the past had fed alligators in a nearby pond. He was cutting weeds at the time he was bitten. He suffered injuries on his hand and leg, was transported by ambulance to Oak Bend Hospital, listed in stable condition. His name is K.R. Smith. All right. And to make it to 88, you've done a lot of things right.
Right.
I'll give you credit for that. But everywhere I ever go that has alligators, it says don't feed the alligators because then they're not scared of humans. So this guy's been feeding alligators. It's just a matter of time until he got chomped.
I would say so.
So, all right, good job getting to 88, but if you're going to keep doing that, I don't think 90 is going to happen.
No.
Not wise, guys.
Can't be good meat on an 88-year-old man.
No, it's very lean.
I feel like it'd be tough. Leathery.
Yeah, but, you know.
Crusty, even. And old people smell different than normal people.
But see, this is probably one of those
alligators. I don't like the way old people smell. This is my own grandma. I'm like, ew.
But this is probably like a homeless alligator, and somebody left the McDonald's out on the park bench, and there's flies on it, and he's still going to eat it.
Could be.
That's kind of what this alligator was doing. Yeah, he was going by and saying, I guess it's old and it's crusty, but it's meat. Somewhere on there, there's
meat. Meal.
Yeah. I'll just peel the skin off and get what I can. Regardless, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Joshua says, in other words, Coach Fred would jump on a chance to coach UNLV. Actually, Vegas would be on my list, but it's pretty far down.
I couldn't live in Vegas. I mean, I could. I wouldn't. It's not on my list of places I'd want to live.
It would take away a lot of the fun of going to Vegas.
Yeah.
Because I would not live near the Strip.
No.
And, yeah. My list is pretty short. I've always said, but I think Denver would be number one on my list, maybe. I mean, now that they've got legal weed, that's up there. And, you know, if I wind up doing really well with the novel and the movie and stuff and can retire, that's where I'm retiring to.
Good news. New Mexico is supposedly pushing for legalized weed now.
That would be good. That would be good.
The more, getting closer to our borders.
It just keeps creeping towards us.
Here it comes.
But yeah, I don't have a lot of places that I would go to anymore. There was a time a couple of years ago before we did our new contracts, I was open to almost anywhere that would be different, you know, because I wanted to live someplace different. But then once we did that, I'm like, all right, you know what? You got to blow me away now.
Yeah, it'd take a pretty special place. Cause, I mean, I got kids that are in school. You know, you don't want to. That was always my goal, was to not be one of these radio guys that has to move around constantly.
Yeah.
One of the guys I worked with early on, his name's Greg Henson, and really talented guy, but he was a nomad. I mean, he would get fired one place and move on to the next, and he had a wife and two kids, and I worked with him for a while, and I was just like, I never want to be that. You know, I never want to be the guy who comes to a place for a year or two and then gets blown out and has to go find a new gig in another town. It's just not for me. So, it'd have to be something good. And if I get fired, I'll just find something different to do.
Yeah, I'm at the point now where I'm kind of thinking whatever I do next deal-wise is my last deal. Because I've got enough going on the side now that I'm going to have retirement money in 3 years. So I don't need to take another job, so it's going to have to be something that blows me away. And, you know, at this point, I don't know what that would be. Because I don't need a ton of money to retire. I'm not a guy who needs a bunch of stuff. I just need beer, little weed, and a chance to go play poker tournaments. That's it.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about man centers. And prostate cancer is the second most common cancer diagnosed in men. About 1 in 7 men going to be diagnosed with prostate cancer. Only lung cancer is killing more men than prostate cancer. In cooperation with No Shave November, Man Centers is teaming up with us here at ESPN 97.5 to create prostate cancer awareness. We're going to be doing No Shave November, growing awareness by embracing our hair, which many cancer patients lose, and letting it grow wild and free. Donate the money you typically spend on shaving and grooming to educate about cancer prevention, save lives, and aid those fighting the battle. Go to Mann Centers during the month of November to have a prostate cancer screening, and a percentage of your copay is going to be donated by Mann Centers to the Movember cause. Same-day appointments and walk-ins are available. You know, these guys are, whatever your male needs are, this is the gynecologist for men is what Mann Centers is now. Dr. Russell Williams, over 11,000 vasectomies performed, one of the top urologists in the country. Go by 9190 Katy Freeway here in Houston, or give them a call, 832-358-8600, or visit manncenters.com. That's Mann Centers, manncenters.com.
This is Dick's Sporting Goods Week on ESPN 97.5.